Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Horsemanship Remark Show. Last show of March, I think. 2024. On time, and everything's going good here. Ready for you guys all to pop in this morning. Super excited to talk about a lot of things. Holy smokes, the marshmallow is back. I gotta talk to you guys about what we're gonna do here, seriously, because I don't 100% sure know the best way to proceed. He's doing good, you know, awesome. Debbie, good morning. It's a good sign that you're up so early. Super excited for today again. Susan, hi, good morning. Emily, hello. Who else is here this morning? I have my Bitcoin mug this morning because Bitcoin is hovering around $70,000. So we had to buy a little bit yesterday. As Wendy, good morning. Madeline, hi, good morning. You're new. Let's see, Katie, good morning. Jody, good morning. Michael's not here this morning. So what's on your guys' mind? Let's see, who had a chance to watch the Mowgli video from the other day? Oh, and I wanted to tell you guys, let's see, I have so many videos that I want to get up next, but here's the deal. I am filming a lot right now, a lot. So Horsemanship Insider is getting a section of that. And like I told you guys last week, I'm just going to keep it rolling to you. So partially, you need to watch them. Additionally, we needed to talk about it as we go, because that's part of the strategy for being able to hang on to the information is having a chance to talk it out. So I love all your comments on the Mighty Networks deal here. Peggy, good morning. Can't wait to see you. I don't know why I can't add Michael here. Let's add Michael. Yeah, here we go. Send the invitation. Break, so that's a good thing. Julie, good morning. I might need your help, Julie. I might be acquiescing to needing help on the backside. How's it going? Good. Michael Sparling?
Yeah. Pretty good.
Why can't I hear you? I'm going to turn you up. All right. Let's get to rolling because we only have an hour and 25 minutes this morning, yeah?
Yep. No.
Okay.
An hour and 15 minutes. That was an hour and a quarter.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Hour and 15 minutes. Peggy. Yay. Can't wait to see you next week. So next week, Michael, I'm going to Peggy's. So can we move the show to Wednesday morning?
Yeah.
Okay. So next week, you guys, Wednesday morning, 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
8:30 Central.
Yeah. Okay. What's on your mind this morning?
I don't know. There's a lot on your mind. You thought we were talking Mowgli, and then you sent me a marshmallow video.
Did you watch it?
I did. I watched it a couple times, but I was also kind of having to look away doing other things, too. So, caught most of it, I think.
Got the gist.
The thing is, there's always a lot going on. What was the gist you were hoping to talk about?
Well, I don't even know.
The connecting to the hind leg on the hindquarter yield, the freeness over the back going forward at the trot.
I know. There's tons of technical things. I need help with deciding what to do. So the overriding thing this morning is, first of all, it's kind of wild to sort of be in that situation where it's kind of sort of taking all comers a little bit. In the sense that you definitely don't know what you're getting into necessarily. It's so surreal to have a relationship with a horse and yet just be like, dude, we got to check you out. And stuff is not checking out. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I wanted to ride him. But, you know, even if you check out all the things you know to do, it's still a risk. Less of a risk. But that whole deal where it's like, well, you know, I don't know what to say. If it's not checking out, we got to just do that until it does. Because wait till you see rope around his middle. You know, nothing was like that you saw. You guys, I went to I did a much groundwork, saddled the horse, and really, if I had it to do over again, I would have done like I would have slid him backwards a little bit, but
What do you mean, slid him backwards?
meaning
What do
I
you
would
mean?
have done hindquarters to backing a little bit more, maybe made sure he was more free going forward. I probably could have seen a little bit of that. So in a
I wasn't
way it was,
gonna say it, but that's what I was thinking.
yeah, of course, because it's like in that moment, I don't know, you're thinking about talking to the camera and blah blah blah. So basically what happened is I saddled him and I kind of moved him just a little bit, but then he got to standing still. I was backing him up and it was just not free. So really it should have been hindquarters to back up, hindquarters to back up, but I just went back up and he was like. But it's pretty interesting, Michael, because I don't know how much I should be going back. But just being real, in my mind, I'm like, it's so weird because
You mean going
don't.
back to the past?
Yeah. And the implications, I guess, of that are so disheartening in some ways. And
What do you
I
mean,
suppose.
implications of that? The implications of going back
No, the
and thinking of.
implications of how unraveled it can get.
Oh. For you and for.
For the horse.
Yeah.
For the horse. The horse can go 10 years and just be
He's
worse.
off.
Why is the horse worse? And it's not his current owner's fault. I don't even know whose fault it is. Maybe it was my fault for not doing a good enough job back then and just getting by. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's no sense in laying blame, but it's like you said in the video, like that just doesn't pass. And if you don't address it then and there, it can kind of, I don't know if snowball is the right word, but each thing stacks on the next to where you're less and less free. So in the video, and when I went to back him up, he just wasn't free and firmed up, and he just kind of just wasn't there, wasn't ready, and it took quite a bit to.
So he like balled up you guys and leapt in the air.
But even that aside, even the drama aside, his drama, erase that component from your mind. It's not free, firm up. Still not free. No, I mean it, firm up. And then kind of really, really stuck for a moment. And then, not the most beautiful, but he finally was like, oh, okay. I'm going to back up and I'm going to do it myself. I'm not going to have you beg me, or I'm not going to just. And if, depending on the horse, over time, and it's kind of wild because, like you said, he's not like a real reactive type at all. But over time, that can stack into, like you said, you can maybe get by with it because if you hadn't insisted on him freeing up, you might have kind of been fine
That was
just
the value.
getting by. But still, it all stacks up to at some point he's going to go, I'm not fine getting by because now you're insisting on something and I haven't been freed up for a long time. And so now, even though my personality is pretty chill, I'm getting kind of annoyed with this. Or
And
I'm not in
concerned.
position, and concerned, I'm not in position to do this and now you're insisting on it. So I am going to get, excuse me, concerned. So it was interesting that you sent, interesting that we're talking about the backup because that often is where Even though it's not the place where you start, obviously. It's forward and around. It's inside hind. It's hindquarter yields. But it is a spot where it's pretty black and white, and to me, easier for folks to see. When I put a little hurry in there, is my horse at all ready to go? Right? Because if not, you're crashing into them because you're moving in. Whereas life up on the circle, and you bring some energy in behind, like they can go out, they can kind of bulge your shoulder. There's so many other places they can go, and seeing forward and seeing freeness is a little bit harder to calculate because you're in the center. Calculate whether or not they're with you, whether or not it's really connected. Because a hind leg might go, but it might not be like the reel you posted on Facebook for the everybody's,
With Frosty.
no, it was the marshmallow, I think. I was
Okay.
assuming it. Well, maybe it was Frosty. The one where you did the slow motion? Was that
That's
Frosty?
Frosty.
Oh, okay. I had just washed the marshmallow and they're kind of the same color, so I was
Yes, they
assuming.
are.
So anyway, but what does it feel like for that rein to connect to the, or the lead rope to connect to the inside hind? If the inside hind is going and it doesn't feel like a lot in your hand, it can, you can come to believe that that's connected, right? It's light in terms of how it feels in your hand. They're not heavy. There's bend there. The leg is going, but they can be doing it with an emptiness, and that's hard to determine if you're not, if you don't have the feel for it, if you haven't felt it being wrong and then it being right and it being empty and then it being truly connected. It takes a while, takes maybe some coaching to see and feel that. Backing up, you walk in a little faster with a little more presence and you crash into them, you can tell, right? And oftentimes when you do that, the horse almost sticks more, or the front feet get left behind, and then their legs are, out in front of them like that. And that's relatively easy to see and feel. So I often will use that as a, can you see he's not freed up here? And then sometimes there's the drama when you, or the concern. Oftentimes it's the concern because they're like, whoa, I didn't think I needed to be that free. Jean and I were just talking about this yesterday with Amadon. She's doing boot camp with me. And then
Cool.
there's another gal that's just starting all this. Beautiful horse. Beautiful Dutch warm blood, imported. Just stunning. Everything she does looks pretty. Everything she does looks natural to her. The groundwork's all new. This gal is picking it up really quick. The horse is super feely, super light on her toes, very concerned with almost everything though, very looky around and distracted. But anyway, it's all coming together. Right off the bat, because this is all so new to her and her horse is on her toes, I'm able to say, that's not it. Like, yes, she's backing up, but she's also kind of thinking about that. She's not backing up with her whole being. And
You
so
really,
it
you
takes.
guys, you really should not be able to find a brace.
Yeah.
You can't, you can't find it, you know.
Meaning, if you were to walk in there faster, there is no way, like, you're gonna run into them. Like, they're just gonna be like, oh, well, you're coming faster. Okay, we're gonna back up faster. Or you go in for the hindquarters and you shorten that rope a little bit more and you step in a little stronger. They're like, okay, I'm right on it. I'm not gonna let you pull on that rope because I am there and connected.
Yeah,
So
and
when you're thinking about the backup, I think it's easier to see and feel there for folks that, either it's a little newer or or they're just ready for kind of the next level. They've been kind of holding out where it's the horse is doing things. The horse knows what you're doing. The horse is responsive, but you're kind of held at this level where the horse is kind of, and you get along and you're really good friends, and so everything goes good, and the horse is a pretty chill horse, so you're not running into trouble. But then everything else is kind of blah too, on a level where you'd
Yeah.
like to be a little bit more.
There's so many places that I'm thinking about it relating to the groundwork, and definitely thinking about my past where I did things on the ground, lots of cool, fun things, but they did not relate to riding. And in fact, sometimes they didn't help. And in fact, they didn't actually prepare me for supporting my horse at all. Like, lots of good graces, but so it'll be cool because you guys will see some of these things that Michael's talking about very obviously on this video and this like yesterday's series. Because Michael, for instance, going so I put the rope around his middle, which also didn't check out. I mean, not dramatic, but it's like that doesn't pass. It does not pass. So going around to the right, like which way am I going? This way. Going around, I don't know, whatever. You guys just imagine it. Going around to the right, the horse is leaving to the left, pulling on the rope around his middle, pulling on the lead rope. You know, and maybe it wouldn't be that obvious until I said, but as soon as you, I said, it's like, holy hell. Okay, so now imagine that you are trying to support your horse and they're just not flowing through and around off of the, I'm not going to bend, off of the right rein. You know, same off the left rein, because when I, the very first, before I saddled him, sent him off to the left, and you know, he's gently, but if I had really insisted, you know, been more obvious, like bowing his shoulder to me, right? And the point, the larger point is, well, if I'm sitting on this horse and I go to bend him to the left and he bows his left shoulder into the rein, and but it's like, yuck, I don't want that. And so my, I guess the overall thought is, look, yeah, maybe I could help this horse from the saddle. Maybe. I don't know. You know, there might be times when if I get insistent, it's not going to work until I get some of these other things checking out. But let's just say, hypothetically, you could help the horse from the saddle. Maybe. Well, you better get all the way through that before it's challenged by something. He's unconfident. He scares, you know, something scared, and you really need to support them. So in the clinic last weekend, that's a lot what I was talking to people about too, is like, this is how it's going to carry. And my personal experience with having developed horses like really far and then not having it carry, like you can put in a lot of practice and things be going decently when everything is good, and then it doesn't work when you go to a new environment, when you try to support the horse that's herd bound, they all are, and you know, whatever. Or this is the cool part, or you can do your groundwork and your riding with quality such that it will support your horse, which is so cool. And so the marshmallow, it's not just the marshmallow, I guess, but it's pretty, I don't know, Michael. I can't tell if I'm just reacting to the fact that this stuff did check out.
In the past.
But I guess the only the thing that just is like, even though it did check out, you guys, even though I did ride this horse a lot and he supported me a lot, like at the Buck Clinic and driving down to California and like All the things that swinging a loop, dragging a loop, like all those things that he supported me, even though we had a great relationship. I'm still checking. And when it doesn't check out, I gotta do things that will cause it to check. And it got better. Like better, 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 better. We'll see what today brings. That will be a huge telltale today, because this will be the first time I have 2 days in a row. You follow me, Michael? It's like,
Well, hate to say it, but I kind of feel like on one hand it's going to be a real eye-opener for you how quickly things can deteriorate, whether it's a long time or whether it's just a few times. Because you can get a lot done and they can be pretty turned loose, and it's going to carry longer if it's been longer, they're more solid. But I think more than anything, it depends on the consistency they step into. Like, even if it's different, even if it doesn't have as much feel, if it's at least consistent in how well, it still has to be legit, though. Like, I'm thinking of
if it
horses
doesn't,
that have gone home and they're handled quite differently. The expectations are quite different. Like, it's just not how I was riding them, and not the same expectations. But and it's probably more the personality of the horse, or how much of a get along horse they are. But they can kind of, well, okay, this is how it is now, and what we did carried them enough. But if they go into a situation where it's utterly confusing and it's all over the place, and sometimes that's because the horse is so responsive that the owner is doing too much, and the horse is like, well, it's got to mean this, and then they don't know how to respond when the horse is kind of really trying to figure them out and not quite getting what they meant. So for instance, I have a horse named Finn in right now that I started a while back, and he came in this time, and he was well, Melissa was at your clinic for a day, his owner.
okay.
Any case, he came back and he was pretty confused. I mean, he was just like snaking all over the place, couldn't really go forward. He didn't like He was a little bit fussy, which he kind of was when I started him too. He was like, I don't really feel like going forward, not especially motivated. And it took like, no, we're gonna go. And when you do, he's like, oh, okay, this is great. I like this more anyway. But unless you're kind of like, no, let's do some stuff, you can get a little bit sour if you're kind of poking at him and not getting to the point. So he came back, and there was all kind of these sort of things there, and he was pretty confused and a little frustrated. And she was out riding him on the trail, so she was doing her best, doing a good job, trying to do what we'd worked on. And he only had, I don't know, 30, 60 days on him, nothing prior to that. But it was little things that are they little or are they big? Rein connecting to the foot, but not kind of assuming we're going there. Say the hindquarter yield, you touch a rein and you've done so many hindquarter yields because you've been told, this is important to do, that anytime you touch the rein, now this horse who's not especially motivated is going to go, well, if I do a hindquarter yield, she's going to let me hang out for a while. And so now anytime you touch a rein, they're kind of like, and then, well, what do I do? He's overdoing it every time, and their timing isn't great to catch them and say, no, this time I'm just touching the rein. We're reaching a front foot, or we're just creating an arc, a bend. We're not spiraling into a hindquarter yield that eventually becomes rushed and whatever, because, not doing it with you. There's no feel in it. They're just kind of throwing it out there.
I was gonna say, it's not, probably not the quality.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm saying, is the quality isn't there because the horse starts kind of doing things on their own
And they're it's
For
but
whatever reason.
the and they're not doing it right usually, is
Yes.
the thing. And that's the thing. It's like, because if you touched a rein and the horse was truly getting up and around, it would be a different thing, because then they wouldn't just spin out. But a lot of times a horse will just escape out, maybe not in a super fast way, but then, it's not high quality
Well,
when
absolutely. It's
horses
not
on their
high
way to
quality.
stopping.
That's the point. You ask them to go and they go. It's the same as we were just saying with the back up. Okay, back up. Backing them up.
Did you see him it tiptoeing around? I'm like,
So
why though? Like,
we
why
ask
though?
back up and they go, like we were just saying a second ago. Or you move the hindquarters and they go. You can think this is it. And the horse is responsive, like they're there right away, but you're letting it go persistently without it being through the whole horse, without it being turned loose and effortful. That can all devolve quite quickly, and it will vary completely depending on the horse.
Yeah, so I sent all that to Gary, Okay,
Marshall.
that's me. Yeah. I think I made a mistake, And it's so helpful to me to have his eyes and to be like, well, first of all, to be like, yeah. To valid, to say, yeah, this has to check out. Like, that's all there is to it. Because the other side of it is, well, I'm going to do groundwork forever and not ride. And it's like, well, the only reason you're doing groundwork forever, which, by the way, I have been in that situation, is because you don't know how to check things out, right? So be like, okay, here we go. And you just take as long as it takes. And then the other thing, of course, he said that I was thinking also, you gotta have days where it shows up. In other words, that it doesn't show up, I guess, that the races don't show up day after day. But just knowing that I don't have to abandon the horse, I don't have to do things that I might be like, my spidey sense might be like, oh, this isn't right. I don't know how to get through it, but this isn't right. Let me, Gary, come help me. And that gives me a lot of relaxation when it comes to, like, because then when it is right, this is my point, you can do the things, and your spidey sense is still like, I don't like it. Something's not right. Or when it really does check out, you're like, okay, now we're talking. Now that looks like something I want to get on, and all the things are going to work. But back to, I'm just going to repeat what I said, because as I said this so much in the morning class at the clinic last weekend, it was like, think, you guys, you're standing on the ground, the horses, you're operating the horse from the ground, but think about what it would be like to sit in the saddle, because it should just exactly be smooth. So if you were sitting up there and you run your hand down the rein, or gather two reins and ask them to back up, or whatever, go forward, and you're looking at the horse in the groundwork and be like, I would have to help. So you're right, doing the things, but then that, and I want to help everybody at Horsemanship Insider see the things. Like, this would be the value of doing the videos, right? See the things so that a person can be like, hear the audio, see the thing, go back, look carefully again, because hopefully that will help train everyone's eye. Then they can go practice. Obviously, a lot of the feedback at the clinic was like, yeah, Horsemanship Insider is awesome, but I do need live coaching as well. So I guess what I'm saying is get an impression of the technique, and really you could say, okay, well, I want it to feel light, but what does it look like when he truly turns loose? What does it look like when he truly When whatever it is checks out, when he's truly freed up, I kept saying that this is what we're talking about. When is your horse freed up on the end of the lead rope? Like, are they?
So, just thoughts concerning filming and producing videos for Horsemanship Insider. If you have the situation like you have with a Marshmallow, say on Mowgli or one of these others, to slow yourself down, which I know is hard, to slow yourself down and let them do it wrong for a little longer, talk about, this is what right might look like, feel like, or what your idea of right might look and feel like. Okay. I ask and the horse responds. They back up. And just kind of hang there, letting them do that for a bit so you can talk about it. See there, and then stop again and say, see, she's on time. But can you see there's no effort here? Now, what's it going to take for me to kind of evoke that effort? Now, watch it change. Watch the moment where it frees up, and then go back and talk through. Okay, I'm going to give her a chance again. Can you see she's going? It's maybe a little better, but she's not really freed up. I'm going to have to firm up. Like, kind of slow it down and let her be wrong for a little longer for the point of illustration for people to see it, observe it for a few steps. Go, oh, okay, yes, I have that. Now let's, okay, I see that as the difference because
You think that's better than having people be able to rewind it?
I think so, because then you're able to say it, more. If you rewind it, but then,
The reason I
you
say that
see
is
it again,
because
but you don't have the time in to stop and describe. This is what you might feel. See how this is going. Let's repeat it. Look at it again. Look for this. She's on time. She's going, but it's just not there. If I go more, I will run into her. I will find a brace. So what am I going to do about it? Like, get what I mean? Like, there's
Yeah, I
times
do.
where I'll take someone's horse and it's hard because just my presence, or I'm not as familiar, and the horse is like, whoa, okay. And they're just kind of right away more right on their toes. But I'll try to like go really blah and walk up there without any presence and just kind of be, and try to get the horse to do it a little sloppy or wrong so they can see from the outside it being wrong. And I can talk to them for a bit, describing what they're getting while they can see it from the outside. Again, it's
The
tough
only down.
because the horse responds to me differently just by virtue of me being not as familiar or whatever, novel to them as opposed to their owner. But trying to kind of help them see that and doing it long enough that I can talk through the horse is doing this, the horse is doing that. Like, can you see how when I go for the hindquarters, yes, the horse goes, but if I tried to find the bottom, if I tried to, the horse just isn't ready. And then just let it be that way, maybe a couple times they can see it. What does it hurt? Because the horse is doing that for them anyway, right?
Yeah,
And
the
then,
only
and then,
the o
then. Okay, go ahead.
I was just gonna say the only downside is part of, I think, what an aspiring horseman's education is the pacing at which it all unfolds.
Well, for sure. Some of it depends on what you're trying to help someone see and communicate. At what level they're working and trying to see. If they can't, if they're not can't, if they're having a hard time recognizing the difference between what they're getting and seeing the moment of us not getting it, say with their horse or with ours, or you know, with some other horse that we've been working with for a while, where it's not there and right away you're fixing it up. Like that happens so quick to someone who's not used to seeing it. It's like, well, you just get something different than I get. It's like, well, I was going to get what you were getting, but I saw that that's what I was going to get and I responded immediately. So that would be like, this is the part I'm trying to communicate to you and help you to see in this video or in this context. Here's another situation where I'm not going to slow it down so you can see the pacing of how developing a horse should look, right? And I think I didn't call you back last week because I was busy, but we ran out of time last week, and I'll just tell you now rather than call you. Working on producing these, you know, your project, I think it would be valuable to emphasize maybe the one side more than like I was just describing, like slowing it down, saying, see, this is what the horse is doing, making it maybe more accessible on the front end, given the platform with which you'll be sharing it, and not maybe having that.
That's a good point.
That group of that project be trying to communicate, here's the pacing or the flow of how you'd be developing things, like slow it down, let it be a little slower, let me, you know, show you, you know, what you might be getting and how to, what is going to be important for the horse. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a great point. And I just did River, first day with River yesterday.
Okay,
so no, the little, we don't even know what color she is. I should post a picture. We don't, because it's like she's been described as a blue dun, but she doesn't have a dorsal. But we don't know what color she is. She's so freaking cool. Who is looking for a small horse? So she's 13.3.
Pony.
Okay, yeah, but totally big enough for an adult. You know, a shorter adult. You guys, I love this horse. Love her. She's amazing. If I didn't have so many amazing horses, I would keep her for myself for sure. If you are looking, start putting your names in now. Because, holy geez, she's so good. So she smells like a wet sock, a dirty sock. She does. But we didn't want to do anything with her until we had done the first filming. Not because she wasn't taken care of, but she just lived out, you know, in Eastern Oregon, just free with her buddies, you know. So she has a long hair coat and hasn't been, now she's soaking wet out here. And we're like, because she's got all that dead hair. That's gross. She's so beautiful. Hit me up, legit, and be, yeah. Anyway, this, let's just tell these guys a little tiny bit. This is,
there's no telling. You're either describing the project.
No, I'm not. No. Listen, I'm filming a new YouTube series. That's it. And I'm super excited, but I'm doing it like in a professional manner, in the sense that I am filming a huge part of it. Then I will edit, then it will be produced. And it's taken me a long time to think of a good YouTube series to make, because it is very important to me that the deep horsemanship does not get produced on YouTube, honestly. Because even if I were to make a gajillion dollars off of it, the person that's watching it doesn't have any skin in the game. So the way it'll go is, these are, I'll produce the videos, and then in between, like the deep horsemanship that relates will be at Horsemanship Insider, which is behind a paywall, a teeny tiny little paywall, but it will still make me feel better, in the sense that I don't think that the deep horsemanship should just be scattered to the to everyone with no skin in the game. So that's the deal. So filming a YouTube series, super freaking excited. No
skin in the game and just picked and choosed.
Ugh, picked and choosed. And it's like,
that's the part that would bother me the most.
Yeah, and just watching for the deep horsemanship for entertainment, because I want the YouTube series to be for entertainment, you know? This is, but that's not what the real horsemanship is for. So it's taken me years to figure out how to do that. So I'll tell you the rest of it a little bit later, but it's probably not going to be May. Honestly, if it was, it would be the end of May. Because I got to edit. And it's pretty funny. Corey helped me yesterday. I don't know if you're here this morning, Corey. She's going to help me again today because it's so much videography that I'm burning Debbie to the ground. You know, it's like, I need help. So anyway, thank God I have people that are willing to donate their time to bring this deal to life. But anyway, so Michael is referring to a bit showing things to, not everything, some things to people that maybe don't have an educated eye, haven't been listening to the show for 3 years, aren't members of Horsemanship Insider. This is their first, like,
and I would general say in that context for sure, but even on the insider, doing some of that I think would be helpful.
I will definitely keep that in mind. I will definitely keep it in mind, especially like River makes me think of it. She's so fun. She is unique 100% in the fact that she's not afraid. I could maybe get her afraid, but she didn't come out afraid. So her A was like her B.
Yeah.
And because there was no escaping, a little bit like Daisy. Like, oh, you do not get to use that as a crutch unless you want to scare her, then you will have some escaping. But it was a clear choice in that moment. Like, can I get my point across? Like, can I explain it to you without having to scare you? And I'm sure there were people that, or are people that would be like, whatever, it's going to take longer, just scare her and repair. Better for her. Meh.
Meh.
Especially her, you're like, oh my gosh.
I don't know that it would take longer though.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting because what, she's so nice. She's such a get along horse. She loves people, like all the stuff. But what she doesn't know yet is she can bring things to the table. She is valuable in and of herself. And so it's going to be very cool to show the difference on YouTube, beginning to end. But, you know, then show the process to Horsemanship Insider, where she goes from like, oh, okay, sure, okay, you know, show me what to do, versus like, I think this is a good idea, and I think this is a good idea, and look what I've thought of overnight, and check this out, you know, I'm going to show you what I have practiced. Like, such a different vibe, the two, you know? And if you light this horse on fire, her mind, her interest, her enthusiasm, in a non-frantic, you know, way, oh man, pay me. That's what I have to say. Because she's cool, very cool. But that would have been good to be thinking about yesterday a tiny bit, because right away I'm like, I want her to get this concept. Now it did take a while, so maybe that's good enough, but that would have been probably handy for me to think of, so thank you for that.
I called you last week. Yeah. That's why I was like, I gotta talk to you, because kind of thinking about that on the front end, you know, whether it's valuable or not, I'm not gonna say, but in my opinion, I think that would be, that would add value and be, it would add value for you, for others.
Yeah,
What do you
and
think
that's
about?
sure, and that's, I guess I just kept thinking rewind.
Yeah.
And I told Gary this last night, but it's just like, if I hadn't seen it all change over and over and over again, watching him and just been there, you know, just the two of us, just sitting on the fence, just watching him do his work, where, you know, sometimes it takes a while, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just takes a few minutes and then it will check out. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. And then, you know, kind of, so seeing the variations within that and yet the clarity of like, okay, and this is good. So we, you know, we move on because you know the deal. And he doesn't camp out on one thing. He'll tell you this a million times. I never camp out on one thing. It's like coming and going, all these little ingredients. But so it's interesting to kind of think about showing. I mean, what are you doing exactly? Showing a product that is missing an ingredient? Are you trying to show the different ingredients? Are you trying to show the difference between, you know, when you're trying to make cookies without baking soda or like what, you know? I have got to let my dog out for a second. So talk, please.
In terms of what are you trying to show? I think the contrast, like you're saying, the difference between, okay, I'm being told to do this and I'm doing it willingly versus I'm coming up with ideas, I'm engaged in a conversation, I'm seen and whatever, like that's a before, after, sort of something people can be like, whoa, that is interesting, that is whatever. But I think without going into the curriculum or, you know, breaking down how to, like, without it being how to go. This doesn't pass in describing what doesn't pass. So there is something to, you know, who has doesn't have a trained eye can go, huh, yeah, that is kind of what I'm getting. Oh, that's what I should be getting, huh? Like I see the
Slow
difference
down.
now, and how do I do that? Make
Yeah,
sense?
and there's going to be a super limit to what's going to be talked about publicly like that. But I definitely can, we can talk about that more for the Horsemanship Insiders. Because for those of you guys that do have skin in the game, like this is the crux of the matter. I guess that's what, when Michael and I've been talking about this for 40 minutes, you know, and it's like, okay, but this is the crux of the matter. That will make or break the final result.
Not the final,
Well,
your project, the final result of what you're getting from your horse.
thank you. Yes.
This is one of those shows where I'm going, is anyone following along? Because there's so
Okay.
much shared language and shared experience and shared, you know, talking on the show slash you being here, talking some, you know, at times between the show about different things, me seeing videos, us talking about insider stuff that other people's might not have seen because they're not insiders. Like, holy cow, following along might be a little screwy right now on this show.
Yeah,
But
so
whatever. I mean, it's like you said, it's a show. We can talk about whatever we want.
wrapping it into a package though. So I have this horse for 3 days only that I used to own 10 years ago is having issues now.
Tenure.
That is the only horse I have ever sold that I, well, okay. I've given horses away and to friends, you know. And someone reminded me I sold a different horse. But I really thought this is the horse that would make it, that I'd be like, you're good, off into the wilderness with you. So now he's back And it's a lesson to me. It's a lesson to me about how a brace can be built over time, even though there's a ton of latitude. And now it will be a puzzle for me, first of all, as a horseman, whatever, to whatever degree I'm allowed to say that, what we'll see what my chops are, just frankly. And then it'll be so interesting. Will he turn into the horse that I had before? Will he just all of a sudden melt into that? Will it be a different product? How am I going to certify this horse to move forward with somebody else? Oh, Coda, Lisa, you're the one who reminded me. I also sold Coda. That's right. And I don't even want to know how he's doing. I don't know. I don't have track of that horse. I think he left out of state. So that is the situation. And I'm gonna film all these. We filmed yesterday, we'll do today, do the next day, and it'll just be, and then
I
I don't know
think
what to do, Michael. What should I do then?
my opinion, he melts into it right off. Maybe not one day, but within a few days. But it doesn't necessarily carry.
The
He
hell
could.
am I supposed to do then?
I don't know. I don't know. That's what's hard.
No, that's not a good answer.
Well,
That is a shit
the
answer.
answer is educating the peoples. Sharing what's been shared with us and helping people along that path. Because it's the knowledge that makes it possible. It's not that someone has created this horse for you. I mean,
You at least
Buck will
have to
say
have
he hand
some.
if Buck handed you his horse, right? That horse,
It would be
then a few
fine. That's
rides,
all I
it would be
know.
fun.
It would
Yes, and it would be
be
fun.
fine.
Yeah, but okay. So Buck hands whoever his horse. Very quickly, that horse is going to become their horse.
I was
Maybe not
talking
in
to.
a ride or two, but eventually that horse is gonna adapt to whatever's going on above them, or at
And
the end
you
of the lead rope, and they're gonna figure out what to do with whatever confusing level of what's going on, and go, oh, I don't really understand this, but I guess I got to tune a bunch of stuff out now, and I guess this still seems important to pay attention to, and they're gonna. They evolve in a positive sense to the level of the horseman at the end of the rope, or they're going to devolve into whatever level of the horseman, quote unquote, on the end of the rope.
Yeah, Debbie says to me, I don't remember what horse I was on yesterday, but I think Frosty, who's doing so good. I found a workaround for my bridling issue.
With Frosty.
No, my short-thumbed bridling issue. You
Now
guys,
what's that?
I didn't tell you about that. Okay, check this out. So imagine I'm on the left side of my horse, and this horse was super bad to bridle, way better now, but there's a specific technique that has been passed down, and by the time you do a few things, but by the time you get the bridle opposite, the bridle in your right hand, let's see if I can do this, and then your left hand is going to go over the nose, and then you put your thumb in the corner of their mouth to help them just open their mouth until they learn it, then they just open it whenever the bit's there, right? But like I said last week, my thumb does not reach the corner of the mouth when I have my hand in front of their nose. Now, if the horse is going to generally stand there and kind of keep their nose, then I don't have to, hold the bit that way. But it did not reach the corner, and I really had to help him open his nose. So I was like, dang. And then every time I'd move, so my thumb went to the corner, and then he'd sling his head, right? So this is what I did. I thought about it, for a couple nights, and he's better. He's better controlling his nose and tipping it, towards me. Not like that. So what I did, Michael, check it out. So since I have to control his nose, I just put my fingers in the other side. Like, 'cause I can kind of, because then even a little bit, I can put my hand on his gums, like my finger, and help direct the nose downwards. Freaking works, man. Thank God, because I was like, what the hell? I mean, you could still teach the horse, but they would really have to, like, it probably would take just a little bit longer for the horse to figure it out, but it was so
Because the
cool.
door is easily wide open on that other side. And
Absolutely.
if that's their invasion, yeah.
Yeah, and right. So, and it's a little bit tricky, when you're holding the headstall to also be,
Are you using
control.
pointer finger then?
Well, no, my fuck you finger. A little bit. I mean,
Also known as your middle finger.
yeah. No, but I mean, like, whatever it takes, right? Because now he's getting it. But at first, it was almost like my whole hand had to go in there. And my hand had to, like, hold on to his jaw, like, in his mouth, right? Where there's no teeth. On, like, so it was a lot of fingers at first to tip his nose. To tip his nose towards me. And then he'd be working his mouth. Then I could kind of lower the head even because he was following a feel. And then let go a couple more times. And now it is a little bit, it's not much, and it can just be my index finger. It's pretty cool because it's really tricky to. I was just running into the reality that there was no way to guide his head towards me and lower it. Like I didn't have any way to talk to his overall head if I had to pull my hand in towards me to try to get my thumb at the corner of his mouth. Pretty sweet deal. And I can hold the bit really nicely, but it comes then from the outside corner. But it's
That's one of the, I mean, I'll have to think about that for folks with hands that can't reach kind of both sides of the mouth,
You're
basically.
welcome.
One adaptation that I have used for a while, which maybe you've used, I've helped people with that had smaller hands and couldn't reach, that maybe you've been doing for a while. But one thing I will have them hold the outside of the snaffle rather than trying to hold the whole snaffle, both links, both sides of it flat, hold the outside flat, prepared to lift into their mouth as they open
That's
it.
basic.
And then
Yep, that's part of it.
when you lift, okay, so then when you lift, oh, my hand looks so big. When you
Aperture.
lift, oh, my hand is bigger than yours.
Look at the length of his thumb. It's like, hello.
Then when you lift, just rotating, I can't tell with the screen how to rotate, but you rotate, you're holding the top of the headstall in your fingers, and then because that one side of the snaffle is hanging down, because you're only holding onto the outside, you're going to rotate as they open their mouth to pull the other side up in there. And it lines up enough if your horse has not got their head up in the air or whatever. So that's an
And
adaptation
really,
I've helped people with for a while, but I'll have to think about.
it's so cool because you can draw the nose, at the same time that you're asking them to work their mouth just a little bit. And probably a lot of you guys know this, but I've been thinking about it with this horse, Frosty, that got really, really bad to bridle. And then also, as a result, a lot of times it's like when you're loading a horse that's bad to load, before you know anything, you're like, shut the gate, right? It's like, so when the horse barely opens their mouth and it's like, slam it. I don't really think they care if it touches their teeth at all. People are like, oh, if it touches their teeth, they're gonna have a melt. No, it's if you smash it on their teeth. Like, horses are pulling on stuff all the time with their teeth. That is not the end of the world. It's just, clinging it or bashing it or whatever, that's not good. So it occurred to me how important it is to have the horse settled enough so that when they do work their mouth and you go to draw the bit into their mouth, especially if they're not going to take it, then you generally have to help them, like you're saying, with the headstall on the outside. And then it's like, once it's there, to really pause, to really pause, because you only have two choices. The horse is then going to help you take it into their mouth, or you have to pull it with the headstall into their mouth. Like, they're right? Like, either they're going to do it or you're going to do it.
Well, even if they're gonna do it, you do have to lift because they're not gonna go down and grab it.
Oh,
And you have to
yes, they will, though.
they might eventually, but if they open their mouth, there's a difference between lifting it into an open space and trying to pull it up into a space that's barely there. Yeah, they're like, I open my mouth, my teeth are still kind
Yes,
of clenched.
it's like, here you
Like, that's not what we're talking about. But I'm not sure if this is what you're saying. I think it is when you're saying you just kind of wait there. Even if you're putting your thumb or fuck you finger in the corner of their mouth, and waiting, or maybe working it a little bit. But you've got to wait until they in order for there to be time and room to bring that up into their mouth, and they said, I think what you're saying is they're going to do it or you're going to do it. They have to how to say it, they have to turn loose, but they have to know. You know what
Well,
I'm thinking. You know what I'm
yeah.
thinking. I'm just not sure how to say it.
Well, I guess just what I'm saying though is because he'll open his mouth a little bit so that the bit will just get in his front teeth. And then it's a matter of just pausing there. Just pausing there. And then if he's going to continue to work his mouth, which now I can help with, but you don't even really have to make that happen, because only one of two things is going to happen. He's going to spit it out, or he's going to take it into his mouth. But there's a moment where you have to support the bit so that it doesn't clang, but it's not, you're neither letting it clang out or forcing it in. And that has felt on many horses, but I'm just of course noticing it because this is the horse I'm helping with it. But that's so valuable to him. Same thing when it's coming out of his mouth. It's like, if you can support it so that it's just neither whipping in or whipping out, because your other choice, of course, is that you have to op have the horse really open their mouth, then, like Katniss does. Put your hand over there. And she's like, I'm like, who started you, girl? Whoever did, rode you for a while. She's like, I'm so pro. Now, Novella, you hold the bit up. You don't have to put your arm over it. You know, she's like, zzz, looking for it. Like, let me get my McCurdy organized at least. Lips on doesn't count. So, but I think that's worth saying just because that's meant a lot to him. It really has meant a lot to him. So we have some comments. Let's see, as Michael is thinking. River, so Lisa saw River last weekend. River's an interesting color. I think she'll be pretty once she shed out. I've seen pictures of her shed out. She is gorgeous. We just don't know what color it is. Tammy, as Lisa said, we people always mess them up. Yep. But not always, right? Oh. Lisa said Jake used to run his teeth up and down the rebar in his stall. Obviously, he's okay with metal against his teeth, although he does open wide for a bit. Yeah. Oh, they're gonna get so mad when it clangs their teeth. Well, yeah, don't let it clang their teeth, but if it touches their teeth, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, because even, I don't a horse that's really good to bridle and good to take the bridle off, even if their head is down, it's like they're like doing that to spit it out, not in a get it out sense, but just like my mouth's open. It hits their teeth. Like they're smacking their tongue around as they spit it out, and they smack it against their own teeth to a degree, and that doesn't bother them.
No, it's the confusion and the discord and the, that's the thing. Lisa says, Jake used to run his, like Zorro, same thing, pulling on metal. We can all relate to horses that do that. She says Benny is like Novella. I swear he'd prefer to bridle himself. Benny is a Mustang, which who surely has plenty of Iberian in him. Anyway, well, so we have 13 minutes or something. What do you guys want to talk about? So, wait, what am I supposed to do with the marshmallow? Here are my choices. Okay, I can do tomorrow and today and send him on his way. Then he's going to go to a trainer who I recommended. In another week or so. Could buy the horse. It's just he needs a lot, and it's like essentially $2,000 a month worth of training, training and care. So if I buy the horse, then very quickly I'm going to be into this horse a lot of money. She could give me the horse, which is probably what my gut says is best. But then, I mean,
You're still into the
what?
horse every month.
True, true,
And the horse
true.
still has to go elsewhere.
That's the thing. That's the thing. And that's the part where I guess, I could have Gary as backup and be like, okay. I'm getting along with this horse just fine. Can you come see if there's any? And then he would have to go to someone in our network that we can support to some degree, right? I would think, this is what I think. I could get him to where someone that we know, my friends, your friends, could totally ride him and have a great time. I believe that. However, even when I thought he was gonna make it in the world without any support, he didn't. So now, for sure, if someone has him going backwards, it will turn into a mess again. But I totally think that he can get, we can repair to where he's totally enjoyable and fun, I think. But I need more than 2 days.
I don't know. I don't think you do. I mean, for it to carry, yes, but I think he's going to be right back where you were fairly quickly.
With anyone?
Not with anyone, that's what I
Oh.
said. Not maybe to carry him through, but for you, yeah, he's going to feel just like he did in short order.
And then don't
It's just
you think it's someone who's studying with us or part of it could and
yeah, it's good likelihood. Not necessarily.
what should I do, you guys? Yeah, Pam says that her mare Lena appreciates when she warms a bit when it's cold. Yeah, that's kind of nice. My criteria, Pam, is if it's gonna stick to their tongue, then I warm it a little bit. Otherwise, I used to do the whole, when I was young and dressage land, put the bridle in the, in the bag, and then the hair dryer, and then all I would baby my horse. It's so funny to think back on that. Or we've seen it, the fruit roll up on the bit or the treat on the other side of the bit or, and it's like, okay, sure. But why not just teach them how to turn loose? Different things, you guys. Different things. Because it's not about the bit only. It's about a yieldy frame of mind and the turning loose.
Because a yieldy frame of mind and turning loose is not easy to accomplish without hard work, determination, education, and all that. My dad sent me a little meme or a little cartoon. It looked like Far Side, but I don't think it was. That had two placards. One was like two lines at like a ticket counter, and one was the line for buying new horse, and the other line was for education and whatever, and there were two people in line for the education and learning, and the like hundreds of people in line for buying a new horse. Like, yeah, that's kind of seems like that's how it is, but it's not.
But
it can kind of
feel. You guys, the education and the study and the community and the like the pursuit, so fun.
Yeah.
Just need to hang out with us. Right? Yes. It's hard.
Yeah.
So what? Hard things, that just means it feels better when you get it.
And
plus, aren't we going to be bored otherwise?
Well, I was going to say, hard things with friends is, like, more enjoyable.
So I was thinking about this with the YouTube series. I'm like, I wonder if I'll even want to do a season two.
Wonder if what?
I'll even want to do a season two. It's like such a big mountain to climb to create season one. And then I'll be like, meh, I've done that. Surely it'll be copied a million times by then, too. So it'll be like, you guys can all do it now and I'll be on to something else. I don't know. We'll see. But much more fun with friends who are also having fun. Right, Michael?
Eventually.
Or not.
Eventually.
This sucks. I'm miserable. Even that, you can find some camaraderie in that, right? Lisa says, I definitely think Marshmallow will make it, and a different person will get along just fine. Preferably someone doing proper horsemanship to keep him progressing. He's a great horse who just hasn't been given the right encouragement. Yeah, and I just have to give a shout out to his current owner, Kara, who surely has done a great job of facilitating all of this to at least get to where we are now. She did say, by the way, she did say she is not going to keep him. So, there's that. You guys need to tell me what to do because I don't know.
You have this problem 13 times over, so.
Damn it.
Brought that.
I was just thinking about it. It makes me want to quit. What am I going to do? Whatever. I can't worry about that right now.
Kip did not have the same level of concern that I do. I don't even let this project get off the ground. Let the idea get off the ground.
I think everybody was like, on one hand, it facilitates what we all really, really want, is to have a presence on YouTube for the horsemanship. So it really facilitates that. So everyone's like, woo, this is great, you know? And then everyone's like, oh, that's a huge amount of work. And then everyone's like, what are you going to do with all those horses? And then everyone's like, you're going to be worried about all those horses till the end of time. But here's my theory. I'm going to shame everyone into doing a good job with those horses by proving that they're good. Then they have to live with the fact that this is on YouTube for the world to see. If they can't lope their horse in a circle, it's like, I saw it on YouTube and that horse was loping circles just fine. I don't know. I don't know what the hell.
If you're counting on shame to get it done, good luck.
Yeah. Oh, this is a terrible idea in some ways. It's so bad. It's a good sign that I'm just gonna charge a lot of money for River, and then I'm gonna have to interview people, and we're all gonna be like, "Are you good enough for her or what?" Now, whoever gets her, horse of a lifetime, I think. Lisa's too tall, thank God.
And River's the colorful one,
Well,
the convincingly colored one.
yeah, I get all here. Can I pull up a picture of her for you guys? Let's see how
Let's not
fast I can
go
pull up a picture.
over our 13 minutes because I do have
I
to.
know. Hang on just a second, though. Come on. Let's see. I bet I can find. I need a picture of her. Ugh, this thing is. Let's just see if I can search for River. No. No. It's only one. Yeah, so this is what she looks like right now, you guys. I don't have a good picture handy of what
Kind of
she
scruffy.
looks like. What was that?
She looks pretty scruffy right now.
Yeah. It makes it all the better when she sheds out. She's gonna shed out to this glorious color. I'll be like, "Oh, yay." But we can't tell. What I mean, I've seen pictures of it, but it's still, we don't know what it looks. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful under there. It's like a grayish liver chestnut cut. It's, I don't even know. It's has a lot of blue in it, but it's beautiful. So someone will know. Either that or we have to make up a color. Like I was thinking, like a liver buckskin. No, because her mane and tail is blonde.
It
Who knows?
almost looks a little bit. I mean, I can't tell what's underneath all the mangy lookingness, the scruffiness, but almost has like a champagne sort of color too, a
That's what
little.
Debbie said too. It's just that absolutely. That's what Debbie said too, but it's very dark. Yeah, blue champagne. Like we could make that'd be a cool color to make up. We can make up any color we want if nobody knows. We'll be taking names for that too. Whoever buys her can name the color. It'll be like, discovering a new land.
I gotta go. This girl's getting crazy again.
All right, you guys. So next week, it's going to be Wednesday morning. Thanks to everybody for being here. We'll see you guys all next Wednesday morning at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
8:30 Central.
Bye, everybody. Have fun at boot camp. Tell everyone I said hello.
Will do.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.